This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, sevillepodcast.com.
Help me welcome back to the program Sean Coates. He's with Horse Archer Productions, and we've got some new documentaries we want to tell you about and give away some free copies. And Sean, I have to tell you, I always look forward to talking to you because I love the kind of stuff that you put on film and on DVD. It's really so great, especially your new documentary, which I haven't seen yet, but just the subject matter has got me all excited. It's called Why Old Time. And first off, tell us why you made this particular documentary.
Thanks for having me on, by the way, before we go any further.
Oh, absolutely.
I love talking to you, too. You're greatly enthusiastic about our projects, and as an independent filmmaker, we really do. My partner and I, Chris Beluzzo, we appreciate that. And to answer your question, Chris is the one that brought the subject on the table. And he is we're both musicians, but Chris has been really obsessed and possessed by old-time music for several years now, and he felt like there was a story to be told, and I think part of that is the simple fact that unlike almost any other form of music that is practiced today, old-time is not very commercial. There's not a real line between the musicians and the audience. It feels different. It behaves different, if you will. And we felt that that was a story that needed to be told and had not yet really been told. For the most part, with the old-time documentaries that were out there, we'd seen focused either on the history of the art form or individual people like Mike Seeger or someone like that. And we wanted to get into the experience because I think for people who don't know about old-time music, it's the roots of roots music. It's kind of the roots of bluegrass. It's what a lot of people would call mountain music. And this is music that you can trace back to Europe, although it has some African influences as well. And it is music that people played for hundreds of years, going back to the colonies in one form or another, in fact, for entertainment only. Nobody was trying to sign a record contract, obviously, back in the 1700s and 1800s. And that's a spirit that's very rare in our culture, and that's something that's going on in the old-time community. That's what we wanted to get to.
We're talking with Sean Coates of Horse Archer Productions. The new documentary is Why Old Time, and you can check it out online at whyoldtime.com. And this was, tell us about the nuts and the bolts. Y'all spent a year traveling through Appalachia, through the oldest mountains in the world, just visiting people in their porches and backyards and turning on the camera, right?
Yeah, that's true. It was... We went to a good number of festivals, we went to Mount Airy. We went this weekend. There's one in West Virginia. It's commonly called Clifftop. I think the official name is Appalachian String Music Festival. And we went to places like that where there were large gatherings. But a lot of the work we did was tracking down people who we knew were interested in the material, and that, and some of that was, ironically, we're talking about very, very old music, but the internet was very, very helpful in making arrangements and finding folks. And a good amount of this documentary is literally filmed in kitchens and back porches and on people's land, as well as filmed in the festival setting. And we wanted to do that, we wanted to avoid something that would have been very artificial to this type of film. We didn't want a studio look to it because, quite frankly, that's not the culture we're talking about.
Yeah.
I felt like that was, an accomplishment of the film. We tried to get a look and a feel to it that was genuine to the music.
My favorite thing, we're talking with Sean Coates, my favorite thing about those festivals, and I've been to them too, those vintage Virginia music. That's how I think. I think of this as Virginia music. This is real old mountain music, bluegrass festivals, that kind of thing. The best thing is you can go and sit and watch the bandstand, but then when you go among the folks who are camping, they're all sitting around campfires at night playing tunes. I mean, they don't have to be up on the stage or the main stage somewhere just to play, and everybody just jams with each other, and grandma grabs her fiddle, and it is some of the best music you have ever heard.
The musicianship is unbelievable, and there are some distinctions between old time and bluegrass, although there are a lot of crossover, and a lot of the festivals will have both. But I think one of the trademarks of old time is exactly what you're talking about. It's that what's commonly called jam circles, where anybody can join in, and quite frankly, you are going to find a wide, wide demographic of people from all sorts of socioeconomic backgrounds, from all sorts of political backgrounds. You're going to find a wide range of ages. We found one of the people we interviewed, or a couple that we interviewed, were from Japan, and they had actually moved to North Carolina just to be near the music, just so they could play it on a weekly basis. And we, in fact, we found quite a few of the people that we were interviewing had either migrated to America to be near the music, or they made annual pilgrimages to places like Clifftop or Galax or so forth, so that they could experience exactly what you're talking about.
We're talking with Sean Coates. He's an independent filmmaker in Southwest Virginia. The new documentary is Why Old Time? And we are going to be giving away a free copy here at the end of the interview. So if you like old time music, keep listening, and we'll tell you how you can get this. Before we let you go, we want to talk about two other projects. Staying on the subject of old time music, you've got a new documentary out as well called The Henry Reed Legacy. Who is Henry Reed?
Henry Reed is a musician. He was a musician from Giles County. Which is he actually came from a town called Glen Lynn. It's right on the West Virginia border. It's kind of near the Blacksburg, kind of between Blacksburg and Princeton, West Virginia. And he was born in the late 1800s, and was a fellow who had, in his lifetime, collected hundreds of songs, many of which by the time he was, at the end of his life, he was maybe one of a handful of people who even knew they existed. And Henry was playing music largely in Giles County and a little bit around, but not really getting too far out. And then in the late 60s, a scholar from Duke named Alan Jabor discovered him. And in fact, Jabor was working on Jabor went on to become, I think he was the first director of the Cultural Arts Center at the Library of Concord.
Is that the guy that went throughout Appalachia with the reel-to-reel recording old-time music?
Yes, he did do that. There are a couple of other people that did that, but yes, Alan is famous for that. And what happened was he was talking to a musician in West Virginia, and he said, well, that's an interesting tune. I may get this a little wrong, but I think he said, well, that's an interesting tune. Where'd you get that? And he said, well, that's a Henry Reed tune. And he said, well, Henry Reed's got to be dead by now. And he said, oh, no, he's living just across the border. And that actually was a huge influence on Alan's life. And Alan was able to record several songs that were not known anywhere else. And also, importantly, Henry's fiddle style is quite unique. He had kind of a longbow style, and he had a bunch of jumps and skips that are very hard to do, and not many people knew how to do it. So Alan was able to capture that. And what's interesting about that is that today, all over the world, and we get orders for this DVD in places like Finland and Czechoslovakia and Germany, all over the world, people refer to certain songs as Henry Reed songs because they're associated with him, in part through Alan Jabor and the Library of Congress.
Because Henry Reed was the one man who preserved these songs from arguably the early 20th and late 19th century.
Yeah, now there may have been other people who did know them or were playing them with Henry or had played them elsewhere, but because of that connection to the Library of Congress, he preserved them, and there's a very good chance there were some tunes, you know, a dozen or so that would have been totally lost without this opportunity.
And documentary that you have actually includes footage of Henry Reed playing?
It includes. There's no footage of Henry Reed playing. Video footage of Henry Reed playing. If there were any was ever done, nobody knows about it. But it includes audio tape, and that audio was some of that audio had not been released before. So some of it is very fresh. Even though it was done 40 some years ago, it's very fresh, and it's very powerful. Very powerful.
Oh, I just love this music. So, Sean, before we let you go now, give us an update about the Virginia Creepers Project, which is one of your latest documentaries that y'all are working on, and give us an idea. Remind us again what it is and give us an idea of when we can see it.
Virginia Creepers is a documentary about 50 years of television horror hosting in the Commonwealth. And since I talked to you last time about this, which was several months ago, maybe a year ago, there have been a number of developments. We found footage from the old slime theater, old cobweb theater that was lost. We found a number of television shows that would have been lost, and so I'm very proud of that. And we found hosts that we didn't know existed. And when I first started this project, the first host I knew about was Bowman Boddy's show in 1970, and I quickly found out, well, there was Shock Theater in 59 in Hampton. Well, come to find out, there were several shows as early as February of 1958 that were going on, and we, for the most part, been able to track down people who either the performers themselves or the producers of those shows. And so we've got a lot of interviews and a lot of video and a lot of audio. I've got audio tapes from shows going all the way back to 1958.
And remind folks again what this is.
Well, it's a documentary that chronicles the type of television that people my age were pretty used to, locally produced TV. These were what you would call a wraparound show, and they'd run a horror film. Typically, in the good days, they'd run a classic like Universal Frankenstein or Wolfman or something, or in the bad days, they might be running a real dog. But it really, you know, the movie was only part of the reason people watched. The real reason was to see a local personality act like a fool for 2 hours and cut up and play around. And
most communities had these. I mean, when I grew up in Northern Virginia, WDCA Channel 20 had what's his name playing Count Gore Duvall?
Dick Dizel.
Dick Dizel, right, and who's been on this program before. But Charlottesville had them as well.
Charlottesville actually had two of them that I have found out about, one being Slime Theater. And then that was followed up. There were two versions of Slime Theater, and then that was followed up by Cobweb Theater. Cobweb was hosted by Bowman Boddy. And, of course, now we're going back here to the 70s at this point. Charlottesville's show Slime Theater started in 72 and ran, I think, till 76. And then Bill Bowman came over from Richmond to help start up WVIR. And there was a gap in that programming, and they started Cobweb Theater here, which we have a lot of tape of. Fortunately, the people in Charlottesville were wise enough to hang on to some of the tape. So we ended up getting this old, huge, 2-inch quad reel. And when I say huge, the roll of tape is about 18 inches tall.
Oh, my gosh.
2 inches wide. And we had to process it and bake it. And fortunately, there are only two places in the whole country you could get this process done, and one of them happened to be in Richmond.
Amazing that was preserved. What a historic archive. What a record from early television in Charlottesville. And that will be part of this documentary, which you anticipate being wrapped up when? By the end of this year? Sounds like it's gotten bigger and bigger.
It has. It needs to be done by the end of August, and which means it would be ready by the end of September for. We're going to do a theater release and a more or less a simultaneous DVD release, and we expect it to have some television airings in the Commonwealth. I think Fox 35 is going to run it, and in Richmond, and we may get WVEC down in Hampton to run it. But,
well, you ought to be able to get one of the stations here in Charlottesville to run it. Certainly, Cable Channel 10, the city channel, will run it. And we ought to have some type of party here to celebrate the release, especially if there's a lot of footage in it of old Charlottesville television in there.
Well, I'm all about that. Well, I'll tell you what, I've interviewed quite a few people from Charlottesville and who are involved in that. And it seems to have been a really important part of that time period for people. And I know there's a couple independent theaters, and we're working on that right now. I'd love to have a theater showing, and maybe a DVD distribution event where people can come to the movie and get a copy of the DVD, and if we're lucky, we might even get Bill Bowman down there.
You get the theater and get Bill, and then we'll do a live remote from there, and we'll do the radio show from there. And everybody can just stop by on the way home from work and catch this and buy the DVD. That'll be fantastic. So stay in touch, and we'll plan on doing that sometime.
Well, thank you for the opportunity. And I do love talking to y'all, and I appreciate all the support. I think anybody who's into old-time music will like that film. We hope so, anyway.
Absolutely. Sean Coates is with Horse Archer Productions. Sean, thanks for joining us. Talk to you again soon.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SevillePodcast.com for more.